have your Bible to it in 1 Peter 2nd chapter, or 1 Peter 2nd chapter. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this. It'll be later on in the message. We'll get to show it to you, but I had never seen this before until not even today, just a few minutes ago. I've had God to change messages in my life. I've had God to take away messages in my life, but I have never, ever, as long as I have stood before that Lord, had God to add to a message that He had already given me. And what He had added to this, it just brought tears to my eyes. Church, I want you to listen just for a few minutes. You know, God has always got something for us. I don't care who we are, what we're doing. He's got something for us if we're willing to receive it. And we know that through and by and from that of the Word of God comes nothing but purity.
Right. Yeah.
And through purity comes nothing except that in which God Himself has purified through the washing of the Word.
Yeah.
I'm glad I've been washed tonight.
Amen.
Yeah. Even being washed in that of the blood of Christ, that never made me perfect. It'll not make you perfect. It'll make you a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven to invite the way of repentance.
Yeah, bless you.
And stand in the ways of thy Lord. But I want you to pay close attention tonight of the reading of God's Word, that of the preached Word of God. In the reading of God's Word, it says, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so by ye have tasted, that the Lord be gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, the swallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is the containing in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, be he is precious. Be unto them which is disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, Lord, just for a little while, dear Heavenly Father, we realize tonight, dear God, Lord, within ourselves, we are nothing, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, dear God, Lord, you help us to step aside tonight and let that of the Spirit have free course. We thank thee for the liberty and the spirit of that of the sovereign God that we have felt here this night. Lord, we pray that you use my mouthpiece as a vessel, dear Heavenly Father, to let proceed out of it. God, the very words you have me to speak, and we pray that each and every one, dear God, Lord, would close their minds but open their hearts, dear Heavenly Father, under that of thy word, dear God. Lord, that they may receive unto them, Lord, that which is most precious, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, that it would help them through journey's life, dear God, that it would give answers unto some, dear Heavenly Father, and Lord, to supply needs unto others, dear God, and to show those, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what they now need in their life, dear God. And Lord, for all of these favors, we do most humbly pray, amen and amen. Go back with me to verse 7 in the very first sentence. It says, "Unto you, therefore, which believeth, he is precious." And I want you to think about this just for a little while. That which is precious unto the soul. Amen. That which is precious unto the soul. As I begin to hook into that of the unadulterated word, that I see one that stands up far beyond other mankind. Amen. That is that of our Lord and Savior. That of a most precious being. That was set down here before the foundation of the world. My friend, today, as we begin to get into that of the scriptures of God's word. It said unto you, therefore, which believeth, he is precious. My friend, as Peter here is writing, we know that there was a time in Peter's life that he had, even though believing within himself, that he would never deny the Lord, loved him with all his heart. But yet, whenever fear come about, and he knew that fear, my friend, even death could be staring him in the eye. He let fear overtake and deny that of the precious Son of God. But in the 8th chapter of that of the book of Luke, the Bible said that there was this young lady. There was a woman there by the name of Mary Magdalene. A woman in which God had cast out 7 devils. Now I want you to think about this lady just for a few minutes. Here was a woman that was being tormented night and day. Some would say that she was an adulterer. I don't know. The Word of God don't record that. But she very well could have been. But I do know this. There was something about her and in her that was causing a lot of problems in her life. Making her life very miserable. Living in that of sin. And being controlled by that sin. But they come along. One day, a man by the name of Jesus, he began to pray unto this lady. And the Bible said, as he began to pray with that of Mary Magdalene, that there were 7 devils that were cast out. Now, church, I want you to think about this. There was probably a lot of things that meant a lot to this lady in life. But there was never a day that anything meant more to her than that day of having liberty when the devils had went out of her. She had that of the right mind. She could make clearly. My friend, she had that now of common sense. And she knew in whom she loved. We go down in to that of the Word of God. And we find in Mark 15 the Bible said that they came. One man by the name of that of Bo Joseph requiring that of the body of Christ. And the Bible said that Kylie inquired under that of the centurion whether or not Christ is truly dead or not. Then when he got confirmation that Christ was truly dead, the Bible said that he gave Joseph a lead to take the body of Christ. My friend, I want to tell you something today. When God comes in our life, we should never forget him. My friend, the most precious thing that man will ever endure on this life, in this life, is that when we meet up with that Christ. My friend, Mary Magdalene, she never forgot what she came from. She never forgot that one which was most precious. The Bible said whenever they came seeking for that, the Bible said that Mary Magdalene and another Mary beheld when they laid her. In other words, when Joseph went and placed him in that tomb and he brought the linen about him and there the stone was rolled in place. The Bible said that Mary Magdalene was there. My friend, from the day that she met Christ, my friend, from the day that she was delivered from the wickedness of this world, the day that it had to let loose and turn loose of her, by that of the most precious, she was never the same. She never forgot where she came from. And my friend, she never forgot who brought her out of all of this. And the Bible said in the 16th chapter of that Mark, that Mary Magdalene, that Mary the other Mary, the mother of James, and said that they had brought there the sweet spices and all of these things said yeah. on him very early in the morning of the first day of the week.
Yeah.
But the Bible said the stone had been rolled away
yeah.
and they entered into the tomb there. And there sat a young man at the head of where Christ lay.
Yeah.
And he said, that one which you seek, he is risen.
Amen.
Go tell your disciples
yeah.
that not many days thereafter
yeah.
that he would meet them in Galilee. My friend, later on, the Bible said that Mary Magdalene, in whom he had cast out seven devils, when she went and told them, the Bible said that they had been with him as they murmured and wept, and they, when they had heard that he was alive, they had been with her, and they believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto the two of them as they walked and they went into the country. And when they had told it unto the residue, it said, neither believeth them they, but my friend, there came a day in which they believed. But the point is, Mary Magdalene, the Bible said that Christ appeared to her first. She was the first one that God showed up. Why? Because she never forgot
yeah,
him.
Right.
I don't know about you, but my friend, when I have problems in this life, I don't want to be humbled enough.
Yeah, yeah,
but God will show up exactly when I need him.
Yeah.
My friend, it might not be on my time clock. It might not be in the day of the week that I want
yeah.
it. But I want to be able to be where I need
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
So that he'll show up right on time.
Yeah.
And now, church, I want you to think about this. The Bible said in the book of Lamentations, even though we see Christ is the most precious, you would think that would be the most precious thing man could ever own
yeah.
or ever see in this life. As precious as he was, I want to show you who God sees as so precious.
Yeah.
In the book of Lamentations, chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible said, oh, you sons of Zion, how precious were they in the sight of the Lord. My friend, he looks down at us as being there the precious people. You think about this, where I'm going to do. I've never seen this before. My friend, Mary Magdalene saw the precious Son of God. The precious Son of God.
Yeah.
I saw that of the precious people.
Yeah.
That went in the beginning of the very foundation of the world. When everything was all created, it had been laid down by the earth and the sea, and everything that divided thereof, every creeping thing upon the face of the earth, he created all of these things. And Brother Jerry, he looked down and he saw it was good. And then he took it a step further, and then he created that man. And when he created man, he didn't say it was good, he said it was very good.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Yes.
Yep.
The creation was good, but when man came in, it was very good.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible said that there came a time when he looked down and he saw the very thoughts of man were evil.
Uh-huh.
And he said that God repented that he made man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That word repented in the Hebrew means regret there.
Yeah.
He had some regret about what he had created in that man.
Amen.
Yeah.
He didn't ask forgiveness because there was nobody to forgive him of anything.
Yeah.
You cannot take an oath any higher than that of God.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Amen.
Right.
So when he looked down and he repented God that he made man, the Bible says that there was a man by the name of Noah. He found grace in that of a precious God.
Yeah.
And that of a precious God looked down on that of a precious people. And he said that I will sustain thee.
Yeah.
It said in the book of Peter that eight souls were saved alive.
Yeah.
Why? Because he saw it was precious.
Yeah.
My friend, they came upon me. I believe through that of Noah. He got the love put out of his creation back.
Yeah.
And he saw that of a precious people. Let me show you how he sees us. church, you think about this, and you study about this, you ponder about this, and God will help you.
Yeah.
But God said, the Lord said, this is a precious people.
Yeah.
And how precious are the sons of Zion. And my friend, that means me and you. Have you saw the sons of Zion being precious, Brother Eric? Don't you think God is a God that has no disrespect to person? Heaven sees the sons of Zion precious. He sees us as being precious. Amen. He sees us as a precious, a soul under that of God.
Amen.
Good preach.
Stick with me here.
Amen.
Church, so many times, we really forget who God is.
Yeah,
that's right, brother.
We forget who God is.
Amen.
When everything's going fine and all of this, boy, we lift His name up like, and there's no problem. Let a little thing get a little higher. Times get a little rough and we forget God.
Yeah.
Until it gets to the point where it's a burden down and it's a heavy laden, we can't even look up.
Amen.
And then we'll remember.
Yeah.
And where our help comes.
Amen.
Then we begin to cry out. Church, we are precious. Precious in the sight of God.
Yeah.
The Word of God, even though we see Him as the most precious, God sees us as that of the precious one.
Yeah.
We were so precious that God looked down one day and He saw the sacrifices of the bullocks and the doves and all of that and the sheep and everything, Brother Taylor, going around.
Right.
And He looks down and He looks around and He said, this ain't going to get it. He might roll something back, but I'll never see Him in my clothes. I'll never see Him in a place called heaven. Except I do something. And I love the creation where it is precious in my sight. He said, I'll make a way, escape, and I'll send the best that heaven has to offer, down that they may have, come right to the tree of life. And He said, whenever I send this one, and He goes to the cross, and now He bleeds and dies, and He cries aloud, for the Father to forgive them. He said, then I'll hear the prayers, and the angels said this, that there'll come a day, whenever He shall make an altar sacrifice for me and you, and He shall be laid upon the altar of man's heart, to have the white rack of the tree of life, and there'll be no more rolling back. For when the sun sets you free, and you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Solomon 5 and 10, it says, my beloved is white and rooting and shifty among 10,000. Solomon never met a man like God.
Mm-hmm.
He met a man that gave him and made him the wisest man in all the land.
Yeah.
Amen.
Church, I hear this said over and over and over again. Brother Jerry, there's times I just think, well, they just wouldn't say that. There's more to it than that. And they are. But I hear people say, God didn't save you to sit down on the seat of dignity.
Right.
I've heard that so many times.
That's right. Amen.
But you know, a lot of times the seat of the do-nothing, the reason they're sitting there, they knock up the fire, shut up the bones, they just
bring
up the fire, shut up the bones,
right.
And we need to let the fire go.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's true.
Amen.
There was a man in heaven sent the Holy Spirit unto me and you to give us something so we could feel it, to give us something so we could know it, in order that we may be able to make our moderations be known for that of the brother and sister in that lost and dying world, that God may be able to do a work through that.
Amen.
Listen to me just a minute. I'm fixing the clothes. I won't be up here much more longer.
Bless the Lord.
Get up and go. I used to have done. Get up and weep. It ain't like it used to be. I mean, I could. He could too. With the best of them. With the best of them. Always give yourself another 7 years. You'll be standing where we're sitting. You'll be sitting where we're standing. But listen to me. The Bible said, that of 1 Samuel 26 and 21 says, my soul was precious in my sight. Yeah. This was Solomon talking. But he had done that which was evil in the sight of God. And Solomon was begging and pleading with God to bring my son David back.
Yeah.
He said, I recall the day that my soul was precious in my sight.
Yeah.
Church, the day we got saved, I can remember that fire that they talked about, one that I talked about being shut up in his bones. But it didn't take me long when I come off of that altar.
Right.
It didn't need to be shut up. It needed to be let out.
Yeah.
Amen.
God said that which he has freely given you, you receive and you freely give.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you this. How long has it been since you just sat down, come to church, and felt the blessed Spirit of God kind of move on you, and you just sat there and kind of, well, I don't feel the greatest this morning, but God used somebody else to fill in the gap.
Yeah.
God don't need no gaps. God needs ones that's ready to step up to the base and play it and do that which is needed of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know God gives, give thy gifts. Give something else he gives and give talents out.
Yeah.
How much has God given you in life?
Yeah.
What's the talent he's gave you?
That's right.
But you use it when it's convenient to you.
That's right, brother.
Yeah. Oh,
how much gift has God gave you? You know, I still believe that there are people out here that can lay hands on one body out of God. It ain't man's doing.
Right, right.
But God has gifted them with the power of prayer to lay hands upon people and watch them recover.
Right. That's right.
But they're waiting on somebody else to go
through. Yeah. Right.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I know good and well there's people out there that's up this late.
Yep.
I'll let them do it. Let me tell you something. You'd be surprised how quickly God can take that which he has given.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I used to play guitar. I used to play in places I didn't need to be playing. That's where I played when I played.
Bless the Lord.
Even played with another preacher, Brother Tony Fields.
This is some of his men up here.
We played the same ungodly places. But you know, there come a time when I laid that guitar down. I just laid it down. Wasn't no big deal for me to learn how to play that. Wasn't no big deal for my sister to learn how to play that. My older sister. Me and her played the only ones that played the instruments. There came a day when I just laid it down. Then he decided to show up. He decided he liked music. Been somewhere around 8 years since I've even touched the guitar. You know, I'm still to this day to learn how to play that thing. I'd play anything on it. I'm still to this day to learn how to play it. My friend, if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You know why God gave it to you? You know why God gave you that talent? Because you're precious to him.
Amen.
You know why he gave you that gift? Because you're precious to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to say this, Brother Jerry, I'm going to have to close. What you think about this? Bob said precious in the sight of the Lord of the saints. That's in 116:35 or 15 minutes. We're precious.
Amen.
He never called an animal precious. He never called a hippo precious.
Yeah.
A bird precious. Fish precious.
Right.
But when it come to man, he didn't only call them good, but he said that's very good. Not only are they very good, but they're precious.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Answer me this. How does the most precious person in all the world, in the universe, see a nobody like me more precious than him? And he is. That's what he's looking at. Because he gave his son for me.
That's right, brother.
Right.
I'd never give him nothing like that.
Oh, hallelujah.
Listen to me. You know that in 1984, my daughter was born. On Halloween night of that year, I received the worst injury I could have received. I broke my back. I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to say. I started out and having to go get therapy. Finally got through that therapy. I had to end up having surgery. 2 years later, I was standing out on the porch. Me and some yellow jackets was kind of having a conversation. They got more words in than I did. And I sneezed. And I passed out like a light. I went dead cold. I woke up in the awful pain you can never imagine. my wife trying to get me up. Went back to my surgeon. He said, I have shattered a disc in my back. And it has damaged over 6 inches of that solid nerve. He said, but we've got to do some therapy before we even think about surgery. So I started therapy. I went down. One day after 2 months he went by, I was going to have therapy done, pulled in the parking lot, put my foot on the brake, got me a parking spot, throw my car up and park, and my foot just fell off the brake pedal. I was paralyzed from the waist down. Had no feeling, no nothing. After sitting out there 2 hours, I finally got the attention of somebody. They come in, out, put me in a wheelchair, and got back there and started doing an x-ray. Loaded me in an ambulance, sent me straight to Nashville. This was on the 25th day of November, 2 days before Thanksgiving. They rushed me in there, do all these MRI, all these tests, and come back, and the doctor tells me, you have to have surgery. There's no way around it. If you don't have surgery, you'll never walk again. If you do have surgery, you've got a 25% chance of walking and only a 35% chance of ever getting full use of your extremities back. I said, well, walking's better than nothing. Let's do it. On the 24th day, the day before Thanksgiving, went in and had surgery. Come out and everything about me was working. I was in the turtle shell for over 8 months. That's a race from here to there. That hurt me worse than my injury because I've got a type of phobia that smothered me to death. I could just as easily have never took another step. I could have never, listen to me, I could have never been able to hold my daughter and walk around with her again, go hunting, fish young man, get out and do the activities we went. In 1992, listen to me, I had 4 back operations, but the last one in 1992, they took me in, I ruptured 2 of my lower discs again. I've got no disc in my lower back now. I ain't even supposed to be walking. But the doctors just need to go back and study a little more. I've got a different medical book they can read out of a lot to. It's actually a physician's book. They may learn some things, Brother Caleb.
That's right, brother.
But I went in there. And they said, we're going to have to do surgery. They done surgery. But I was on death's row. See, the anesthesia they give me that day, I had a bad reaction to it, and I couldn't even take that without a crash cart at my side from there on out. What it did, my upper heart was beating, but I had no lower beat. I had it pumping the blood out, but it wasn't pumping it in. They hooked me up on this thing, looked like it had a suction cup on it, and every other time it would do that. After they kept me on that for 6 hours, the client told my mom and dad, said, we've got a dire situation. Said, if he stays on this, another 2 hours, 8 hours. If he was to die after that, chances are we'd never bring him back. Because when your heart gets in that state, you can't shock it back in rhythm. Because you've got one part of it that's not getting decided to do this to work. He said, we can't stop the heart and start it back. Because the chances are, neither side would start. So they said, we've got to work this out. And he said, if he does not come out of this in 8 hours, if something happens and he dies after that, that's pretty well it. There's nothing they can do. Well, that critical hour came, 8 hours. And that thing is still sitting there. Boom, boom, boom. 9.5 hours being like that. All of a sudden, my heart started on its own. On its own. Church, I say this to say this. How many times has God intervened in your life where death was looking in your eyes?
Right.
Death
yeah.
was looking and staring you down. It had you cornered. But then when God intervened, you thank Him. No doubt about it. I thank God.
Amen.
But you know, I never realized how precious it was.
Amen.
I should think about that every day of my life.
Amen.
I should give God glory every day of my life.
That's right, brother.
How many times have you been in a situation where you thought you was going to lose it all?
Yeah.
Then at the last hour, God said, I'm here. Mm-hmm. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
We thank Him, no doubt, but we forget it later on.
Yeah.
Church, I'm going to say this. The talent God gave to you, He gave it to you a reason. Don't take it for granted. The gift that God gave to you, He gave it to you for a reason. You may never have to use it but one time in your life, but when He calls and says, precious son, precious daughter, I need you.
Amen.
There's one down here that's fixing to slip out into eternity. Yeah. I need you to go see. There's something special I need to do through you.
Yeah.
Because I give you this. Would you be willing? Would you be able? What about that fire that shut up your bones?
Yeah.
How long has it been since you pastor has actually been able to sit back and to be able to feast in the glory of God for all the labor He's done behind the pulpit, just because you decided one day that the Lord started moving in such a way you couldn't keep quiet, and you began to shout and you began to testify, and He sat back there and pulled Himself up to the table and was able to eat and to thank God for the obedience of the people.
Amen.
Amen.
I've had my feast today. Let's think. I want to say this. Tonight, there's somebody here, maybe one or more than one or two, that God has answered a question for you in your life. Something you wondered about. God's answered it. You now know. It could be something you know to do or something you wondered about in the Word. Then there's those that here tonight that God has come. They needed that. They needed the comfort. And then there's those here tonight that this God's walked right back, sat down, He's wrapped His arm around you, and He said, now I showed you what you need.
Amen.
Let us go together and reason. Let us do this together.
Amen.
I don't want you doing this alone. We're in this together. I'm precious unto you and you're precious to me. Let's be joined together. Let's get it right.
Amen.
I saved you to do a work. I saved you to give you a home. I saved you to get you out of the trials and troubles that the world cannot get you out of.
Right.
I gifted you. I talented you. I gave you a testimony. But you're not telling people about it. You're not telling people about what I've done in your life. And I did it because of it. I did it because of you. Never had bad no one was correct. Church, listen.
Well, that's
can you imagine what it would be like for the whole church one day, one mind and one accord, just start coming up, testimony after testimony, a song start ringing out in another pew, the pastor sat back, and the joys of tears began to stream down his face because he'd been fed from heaven's finest this morning.
Right.
Well, every head's bowed and was looking at him. I want to ask you this, and I need you to think about it, because we're looking toward tonight of that one that is most precious. He's looking down upon that of those in which are more precious to Him, more than all the things of the land. If you're here tonight, could you search your heart? Could you feel the darling, loving God wrapping His arms around you and say, I showed you something tonight because I'm here. I want us to commune together again. I want to be able to use you like I need to use you. I want you to be one that I can trust or whatever hour of the night it may be that I call upon you. I need you tonight. I love you tonight. I care tonight. And I won't let you go down there alone. I'll walk every step of the way with you. If there's a little something that you can see in your life that you need to be brought back into your life that's no longer the way it once was, would you just slip out and just come down and say, Lord, let's get it right. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Lord, put that fire that's in me that's shut up, let it, give me the ability to let it come out. Your God loves you more than your mom and dad could ever love you. He cares for you. He's given you. He's given you a talent. He's given you a testimony. Are you withholding the testimony of what He's done in your life that it may be a help to someone else? Have you forgot about what God has done? Think about it, church. God bless these for coming. You'll be surprised so much God to move upon you and show to you if you'll just come and say, Lord, it's me. It's me and you. I'm not alone. At the very last hour, a lot of times our hope seems to dwindle. Seems to start running out. But at the very last hour, God moves upon the scene. And then you really can stop and think and say, Lord, I'm so sorry that my faith was getting weary. I'm so sorry, Lord. But I know that the trying of my faith is most precious. You said your word is most precious. Would you be honest between you and the Lord tonight? Have you give Him all the glory that's truly due His name for what all He's done in your life? Have you truly moved for the Lord the way you need to when God moves upon you? I'm going to tell you something. It's not about you and your four. It's about you and all of those out there that's falling off into a lake of fire and brimstone. It's about those loved ones that are not yet saved. It's about that neighbor that's not yet saved. It's about that one that just keeps coming against you and making you mad and causing you to have faults you don't need to have. Could you just come and say, Lord, I need you in my life stronger than I've ever had you. I need you to come and to move. This is between you and the Lord. And you'll not walk down here alone. I'll assure you that. God will come right with you. God will come right with you. If you'll just pray, He'll wrap His arms around you and He said, here I am. I'm right here with you. I'm going to make you into someone you didn't think you could ever be. If you'll just do it my way. With me and others. Just be willing to say, Lord, I'm seeing where I need just a little bit more in my life. I need to kick some pride aside. And I need to stand up more for you than what I have. I need to trust you more than what I do. And Lord, I know through and by the grace of Thee, God, I will be able to do all things through you that strengthens me. Would you come and say, Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Would you come?